The plane door opens and the humidity hits you first, a damp cold that seeps into your bones after the dry cabin air. It's August in Buenos Aires, the middle of winter, and the sky is a low gray that seems to hold the city in a soft, patient grip. I'm Camila, and this is the first step of a year I've been planning for a while, a slow drift from this capital down into the Andean Northwest, but right now it's just about getting my feet on the ground. Ezeiza Airport feels vast and quiet in the off-season. The arrivals hall is a maze of glass and polished stone, but the line at migrations moves quickly, and the officer barely glances at my passport before stamping it with a 90-day tourist entry. For most Western passport holders, that's the whole visa process right there. If you're planning a longer stay, there's a digital nomad visa that lets you stick around for up to a year, but for now, my paperwork is just a single stamp and a promise to behave. I grab my bag and head out to find a shuttle into the city. A bus into the microcentro costs about 8,000 pesos, not quite $9, and takes an hour through the grimy industrial suburbs that slowly give way to the tree-lined avenues of the capital. You could take a taxi for maybe 25,000 pesos, but on my second day of arriving and my first real look at this place, I'm happy to be at ground level, watching the city unfold. My first stop is a small guest house in San Telmo, the oldest barrio in the city. The streets here are cobblestone, uneven and slick from the morning rain, and the buildings are worn in that beautiful, crumbling way that speaks to centuries of weather. A night in a mid-range place like this is around 100,000 pesos, maybe $110, but it's worth it for the location. I drop my bags, and the first thing I do is walk to the corner kiosk to get a SIM card. The kiosk is a cramped little shop with a metal grate, run by a woman who barely looks up from her phone when I ask for a chip. She sells me a prepaid thing from Personal for about 5,000 pesos, $5 or $6, and she uses her own phone to register it with my passport, a process that takes 5 minutes and feels almost too easy. You need an Argentine number for everything here, banking apps, the SUB transit card, even some coffee shops. It's the first key to the city, and I'm holding it in my hand. The next morning, the city is still cold, around 13 degrees, but the rain has stopped, leaving the air smelling of wet pavement and diesel. I find a cafe, Confiteria La Ideal, an old-school place with mirrored walls and a marble counter that's been there since 1912. The cafe con leche costs about 4,000 pesos, which feels like a splurge, but you're paying for the atmosphere of a place where tango lyrics were probably written. The waiters are all in black vests, and they move with a formal grace that seems to belong to another era. My real task for the day is the bank. I need to open a cuenta para migrants, a special savings account for non-residents, which you can do at a public bank like Banco de la Nación or Banco Ciudad. I choose Banco Ciudad because it's near my guest house, a branch that looks like a temple from the outside, with high ceilings and brass teller windows. The process is surprisingly smooth. Passport, proof of address, and a provisional CUIL number that I got online from ONCES in about an hour. The whole thing takes less than an afternoon. Getting the CUIL is the thing that unlocks everything. It's a tax and social security number, and you need it to open the bank account, to sign a rental contract, to do just about anything official. I did it through the RADEX system at Migrations, which was a bit of a bureaucratic maze, but once you have that precaria, the provisional residency document, the rest feels manageable. I'm told that for most foreigners, the biggest hurdle is getting the appointment, but I got mine in a week. With my account open, I top up my SUB card at a kiosk on the corner, about 1,000 pesos for a single metro ride, which is roughly one American dollar. The SUB card is the magic ticket for the whole city transit system. 6 metro lines, the buses, even the commuter rail. It feels good to be able to tap my way onto the SUB Line A, one of the oldest in the network, with its original wooden cars that rattle and groan like they're alive. I spend my first weekend doing orientation walks, the kind where you just pick a neighborhood and let yourself get lost. Palermo is the hip one, all street art and specialty coffee. I stop at Rita's Specialty Coffee on Armenia Street, where the barista tells me about the city's coffee boom, and I pay 5,000 pesos for a flat white that could hold its own in Melbourne. The city is full of contrasts like that. A place where you can find world-class every thing one block away from a crumbling mansion that hasn't been touched in 50 years. In the afternoon, I walk the length of Avenida 9 de Julio to the Obelisco, that 67-meter stone needle sticking up out of the traffic. The city plaza around it is a meeting point for everything from protests to tourists, and I stand there watching the Portinos surge past, bundled in dark coats and scarves. The rhythm of the city is older and slower than I expected. People live late here. Dinner never starts before 9 p.m., but the winter daylight fades by 6:12 in the evening, and the streets empty out into the warmth of cafes and theaters. I've been hearing about the Tango Festival that's starting this week. The Semana de las Milongas kicks off on August 1st, and it's apparently a week of open classes and free entry nights at about 59 milongas across the city. I take the sub to a place called Salon Canning in Palermo, a classic milonga with worn wooden floors and paper lanterns. For 3,000 pesos, I watch couples dance in the middle of the afternoon, their feet moving in quick, precise patterns, and I understand that tango isn't a tourist show here. It's a conversation. The second week of August brings the Tango BA Festival Y Mundial, which fills the city with concerts and competitions. I'm told the dance competition, the Mundial de Tango, is the biggest in the world, held in venues like Usina del Arte and Teatro San Martín. I make a note to check the schedule for the Tango de Pista rounds, the ones where the dancers improvise to the music, because I want to see that raw form, not the theatrical stuff. Midweek, I get serious about finding a place to live. I've been looking at rental listings online, mainly in the barrios of Palermo, Recoleta, and Belgrano. A modest one-bedroom in the city center goes for about 600,000 pesos a month, which is hard to wrap my head around until I remember that inflation in Argentina is running at nearly 220%. Landlords want contracts in pesos, but sometimes index the rent monthly, which feels like a gamble. I decide to delay the big decision and stay in my guest house, which is around 100,000 pesos a night, while I look. I need a break from paperwork, so I take a weekend excursion to Tigre. It's a commuter train from Retiro Station, about 45 minutes north of the city, and costs 1,000 pesos each way. Tigre is the gateway to the Parana Delta, a maze of rivers and islands where the weekend homes are only accessible by boat. The train drops you at the waterfront, and the air smells of rain and wet wood. I buy a ticket for a boat that weaves through the canals, past houses on stilts with gardens that trail into the water. The winter light is low and golden, and I see a capybara, half submerged, staring at the boat with ancient patience. That night, back in San Telmo, I go to a parrilla for the first time. I order a bife de chorizo, a thick cut of beef, and it comes sizzling on a little charcoal grill at my table. The whole meal, with an empanada to start and a bottle of local Malbec, costs around 30,000 pesos, about $30, and it's the best meal I've had in a year. The place is called Don Julio, but there are others just as good. Asado here isn't just food. It's the center of the social universe, and I'm beginning to understand why. I also learn about the mate habit. Everyone carries a thermos of hot water and a gourd, and they drink this bitter, herbaceous infusion all day, passing it around in a circle. A bag of good yerba costs about 2,000 pesos, and I've been told that accepting a mate handoff is a social contract. You drink it, you say gracias, and you hand it back. I'm still getting the hang of the bitter taste, but I like the ritual of it, the way it slows down even the most hurried city dweller. There's a quiet pride to the city that I'm starting to feel. On August 17th, there's a national holiday to honor General José de San Martín, the liberator of Argentina, Chile, and Peru. I spend the day wandering Recoleta Cemetery, the city's most famous necropolis, where Eva Perón rests in the Duarte family vault. The cemetery is like a miniature city of mausoleums, some grand, some crumbling, all of them filled with the bones of the people who built this country. Entry is free, and I spend 2 hours just walking the narrow alleys, reading the names and dates. By the end of my second week, I've checked off most of the practical boxes. SIM card, bank account, CUIL, SUB, and the beginning of a rental search. I have a long list of street names memorized, the rhythm of the subbed, and a favorite coffee spot. The session with the rental agent is next week, and I'm considering a place in Palermo that I'll check out tomorrow. For now, I'm sitting in my guest house, the city quiet outside, the rain softly tapping the window like a persistent neighbor. I've made it to Argentina, and the journey is only starting. This is Camila Duarte, and this is the beginning of a long, slow drift through the country. Next time, I'll be moving into my first flat in Palermo, and I'll tell you what it's like to actually sign a rental contract in a country where the currency might change value while you're in the broker's office. For now, if you're thinking about landing here, remember, the arrival takes a day, but the settling takes a few weeks. Start with the SIM card, get your CUEL, and don't be afraid to drink a mate. It's the first of many traditions that will grow on you.